Today on The Moving Icon, host Chris Vlachonasio speaks with Joachim Vessi, winner of BizenFest 2014's Best Screenplay and Best Film for Power of Dogs, about the booming smartphone app market.
It seems we have an app for almost every aspect of our lives. If you log into the Apple App Store, you'll find thousands upon thousands, and some of them, such as the Fruit Ninja, have been downloaded millions of times. But have you ever considered creating your own app, but not sure where to start? Today I speak with Joachim Vessi, an orthodox app designer and filmmaker who was the winner of BizenFest 2014's Best Screenplay and Best Film for his entry, Power of Dogs. Joachim has designed several apps, including Sinky Subs, a homage to old-school gaming, which was inspired by the highly successful Flappy Bird game app. Joachim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. It's great being here with you. I've been looking forward to this interview.
I'm guessing you were a keen gamer growing up. What were some of your favorite titles?
I really loved playing Fallout 1 and 2 when I was a kid, and I also played a lot of adventure games. Basically games that had a very strong story that I could follow. Of course, part of the appeal of gaming is the gameplay and having fun with that. But for me, the story was always a very important aspect and often what I went for more than for just the core gameplay.
Most people love using apps, but they have no idea of how they're created. Can you explain the process?
Well, nowadays, this is actually a lot more simple than it used to be, because there are a lot of different apps out there that help you out make apps. So it isn't strictly necessary for a person to know how to code, per se. Of course, you still have to have a certain idea of how you want to build your game's logic. So say you have a character in the game who is following your main character. So what you have to do in the code is make that character constantly look for the location of the main character and change the direction of its movement. So it's possible to start as a complete beginner without knowing any code, but it's still going to be a lot of work. If you want to make a good game, a game that you will be proud of, you'll have to put some work in.
Would you say that writing code is something that anyone can do, like blogging?
The coding I know, I learned myself. I'm a self-learner. I studied it from books and by watching online video tutorials. But as I mentioned, to make my apps, I use a software suite on the computer. So I don't actually need any coding to do that. I just need to know how to construct the logic. And anyone can really do that. It is more involved than, say, blogging. But you'll need to study. It's good if you're at least a little bit good at math. Not necessarily coding, but math is very good because it can make things a lot simpler. Because in the end, in any game, you are doing math in the background. You are giving actors in the game scene coordinates and telling that actor how to get there. So, for example, you need to figure out the exact coordinate on a ZY axis and then give the actor a vector to get to that point. But otherwise, it's very, very simple because today the marketplace is really, really open. Especially with iOS, it's there and anyone can get in. And it's the same with Android and the Amazon devices. To become a developer for iOS, so for all the iPhones and iPads, you have to pay $100 to become an official Apple developer, for which you get a lot of support from them. But that's about all that there is as price for entry. Obviously, you need a computer to work on. But the software I use, GameSalad, while it does have a pro subscription, which costs $300 a year, You can also just start making games in it for free. So it's really accessible and open. So if anyone is interested, if you have a game idea or a story to tell, gaming is a great platform, and you know, you can try it out.
Though you were inspired by Flappy Bird, you only adopted its essence. It's a game of skill with quite a lot of dodging. Its subject matter is very different, however. In this case, your game is about a submarine journeying through an Atlantis-style landscape. You didn't come up with what I would call mock-up versions. Search in the App Store, there's Clappy Bird, Snappy Bird, Fatty Bird, and there's even a Crappy Bird. What do you think are the key creative elements required when developing an app?
So storytelling is very important for me, and you will hopefully see that in my future releases. But even when you're making the smaller, simpler games, it's important to focus on trying to be original, to bring something of yourself to the game. So I think it's okay when in your first few games, if you look at simple games on the App Store and you take the concept and say, hey, I'll build a Flappy Bird game. It's fine, because it's actually a good thing. I recommend it, because by doing that, you have something before you that you're trying to achieve. But at the same time, if you do that, you know, it's great to bring something original to the table. So make original graphics. If you have an idea how to make this game a little more fun by, you know, picking up coins or adding shooting to the mix, do it, you know, play around with it. Because if you look, as you mentioned, Chris, if you look at the App Store, there are some games that are just blatant rip-offs. Sometimes they even steal the graphics of the original game, and that's just wrong.
It seems the app market is very overcrowded and also short-lived. What strategies do you think a designer should use to get noticed?
Well, that's actually a very good question, because even though the world is connected through the internet, it has actually become overcrowded. And so while the internet is a great tool to get the word out there, at the same time, you know, getting noticed on the internet is not easy at all. Because some people will think, okay, I've made a game, what do I do? Okay, I need to buy some ads, I need to get the word out there. So what's the most popular place? Where do people spend time? Facebook. So you go and you buy some ads on Facebook. It's very easy. You just click 5 times, set up the amount of money you want to spend, and off you go. And that would be your mistake, because Facebook doesn't really work in terms of advertising. Probably the best way to promote yourself is if you have an idea that deals with a specific topic, with a specific subject. Do your research. Find out who on the internet is interested about it. If you're doing an educational game about language, if it's a specific language, try to find an institute that deals with that language and get in touch with them and say, hey, I'm developing this app. I think it's going to be a great learning tool. Can you please help me get the word out to your clients, or just in general out to the world? Because, you know, they have the network because they've been in that business. And if they like your tool and you tell them that you'll give them a couple of copies for free, they might be more than willing to help out, because, you know, it's nothing against nothing.
Do you think it's possible to predict the next trend?
I don't think so. I myself, I'm not a big believer in trends, to be honest. You know, generally, you see a trend when it's already there, and by the time you make a game that's related to that trend, the trend is generally gone, especially in the app universe, because it's extremely fast-paced. And I think it's much better to try and focus on things you love and you want to do on your own. And that way, if people like it, you might actually be the next trendsetter. You might become the next trend.
But you've also dabbled in some health-themed apps. This is a genre that's been experiencing massive growth in recent years. It's even regarded as a digital revolution in medicine. Can you tell us more about your apps?
Yeah, that's actually true. Though for me, I wasn't following any trend. I made this app because a friend of mine from Poland showed me Tabata, which is a high-intensity interval training type of exercise, and you generally need a timer for that. And all the timers that I found on the iPhone, I wasn't happy with them. And there was one that was very nice on the internet, but you needed to be connected to the internet. And I thought, well, this honestly sucks. And I decided to make a timer of my own, primarily for my own use, though I'm not exercising it anymore, so I'm not actually using it myself currently. But the original idea came from my own need. And so then I put it up on the store, and unlike my games, which had some downloads and then tapered off and get maybe 2 or 3 downloads a week, my exercising app, Plain Tabata, has continuous downloads. And it's actually been quite a surprise. I wasn't expecting it. But people seem to be interested in it. And they seem to like it. They seem to use it. The app is free to download, though of course there is a paid option. And the free one is ad-supported. The ads don't make much money, but almost every second day there are a couple of cents coming in. And the main thing that means is that people are actually using the app. So, you know, if you make an app that has a practical side to it as well, it's going to be an app that people are more likely to come back to and use regularly, whereas a game, they'll play it for a bit, they'll get sick of it, and finish. Now that I see how popular it is, in comparison to my other apps, I will put some more energy into it and try to make it even better. And that will hopefully drive more downloads, more happiness from the customers. And, maybe it will actually start making some money so I can start focusing on app developing a little bit more and quit my day job. Maybe not, but, only time will tell. And the thing is to focus on what you think makes sense and what you love.
That's awesome. But besides this small success, what have been your impressions of the commercial aspect to app development?
Well, the app ecosystem, and I will talk primarily about the Apple one because that's where my apps are. It's a double-edged sword because on the one hand, there's definitely money there. People are buying apps. But on the other hand, there is just so much content on there. It's crazy. And for people to find your app, it seems impossible. But as I said, for some reason, my Plain Tabata app is getting downloads every single day. I haven't had a single day without at least one download ever since I put it on the store. So it does work. It does work, but it depends on your app. But of course, the main thing that you hope for as a developer is that your app is going to be so great that Apple's going to notice it and it's going to feature it. Because if it gets featured on the main page or in a collection bundle, let's say Apple's going to make a collection bundle of health apps or of exercise apps. And if they see Plain Tabata and they like it and they put in that collection, there will be a huge surge in downloads and hopefully in rankings. And if a lot of people give it 4 or 5 stars, then it's going to go up in the ranking, in the Apple rankings. So then if you put in Tabata into your iTunes store, it's going to show up as the 3rd item when you are searching for a timer on the iTunes store. It will show up as the 2nd or 3rd item. Right now it's somewhere in the 30s. So evidently, because people are downloading it, they still go further back to check out, oh, what other timers are there, so they can compare. But if you're in the top 5 or the top 10, a lot more people are likely to download it. So this can really drive downloads, and that will work for games alike. If you make a really, really smart game, Apple likes it, features it, and you start getting ratings, great. Or you can, of course, if you do know something about marketing, you know, market your app, get people to download it, and get them to rate your app. Because by rating it, that's how it goes up. The downloads at this scale don't matter too much. If you can get 100,000 people to download it, you don't have to worry about rating, because the app is going to go up just because of the sheer numbers, and it's going to show up in the top selling or top downloaded section. But if you want something that's a bit more stable and long term, encourage people to rate your app, because it's actually very important. And that counts wherever you are, iOS, Android, Tizen, all the platforms. Try to get people to rate your apps. In terms of money, if you are selling your game for certain money, or you offer in-app purchases, be prepared that Apple and all the others charge a certain percentage. Generally, the split is 70-30, so you get 70% of the proceeds, Apple gets 30%. This is, you could say, a price for the fact that the App Store is there. They're managing all the bandwidth, so you just upload your stuff to them, give them all the data, and you don't have to worry about it at all. And if you're actually making free apps, you know, they don't take anything at all, apart, of course, from the developer membership. But there you're really paying for the support you get.
So what have you got next for us?
Well, I have a couple of ideas that I'm working on, either playing with the code or at least researching. And when they're ready, they're ready. In the meantime, I also have ideas for an animation and for some short films. So I'm not limiting myself just to app development. And right now, I don't know what's going to be the next project that's going to get finished, because it's going to depend a lot on what's happening around me, what inspiration comes.
And where can we find you online?
Well, the best way to find me in terms of my apps is actually to find me on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes and put in my name, Joachim Vesely, it should show you all the apps that I've developed. As for other ways to get in touch, obviously, if you have an idea, if you want to ask anything, you can get in touch with me on Facebook. Just send me a message, say that you heard this interview and that you want to ask something, and I'll do my best to try and help you out. Other than that, I wish I had a website, but I don't at the moment. I know I need to make it. Hopefully it will be finished soon. But at the moment, Facebook, the App Store. If someone is not on Facebook, I completely understand. I'm thinking about leaving it myself. But if you are not on Facebook and you would like to get in touch, write Chris. Write to this amazing website he's running. Ask for my email, and I'm giving him permission to give the email out to people who are interested. I'm not going to say it here just because of security reasons. You know, it's the internet after all. But no, if you do want to get in touch, please write to Chris, and he will forward your request to me, or give you my email, or give me your email, and it'll just work.
Well, thanks for coming onto the show today, and I look forward to your next app, and I urge people listening to this podcast not to just simply download the free version, but to pay for it. We're only talking about $1 or $2 here. By paying for an app, you're helping support talent like Joachim and encourage more young Orthodox designers to enter the market.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. This has been a really nice interview. And what you've just said, it's great if we can support each other. And, you know, if you don't have the money, of course, don't stretch your purse. You know, tell your friends about the apps. If you do download them, whether it's the free version or the paid one, please leave a rating. It does help a lot. And yeah, do get in touch if there's anything. Thank you.
That was Joachim Vassi, Orthodox filmmaker and app designer. If you want to learn more about Orthodoxy, media, and the arts, visit the OFA blog at orthodoxfilmmakersandartists.blogspot.com or like the blog on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with host Chris Blachonasios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.